He doesn't know how close he is to the idea of forgetting to preach. I think I checked, and I think it's been 7 weeks since I shared a message here. So, good morning again. Greeting in Jesus' name. It is good to be here. Interesting, the songs that you led this morning, Ernie. Specifically, the last song that you led. The idea that there's a day coming when we're moving on. My message this morning has a little bit to do with the price that was paid. My title this morning is The Promise of Redemption. My goal this morning is to encourage us that our trials here in this life are temporary. That the words of Jesus are truth. And that what he promised is going to come to pass. What got me to this message this morning, let me ask this question. How many of you notice when you turn your computer on, what shows up really quick in the news?
Bad stuff.
I've noticed for the last, I'm not sure how many weeks, I get to work and I turn my computer on. One of the first things that shows up is earthquakes. Have you noticed that? Maybe it's just something that happens on my computer. I'm not sure. Earthquakes, floods, persecution. That's a pretty big one. Fires, dust storms. Stars lining up in a certain way, or our planets lining up. Blood moons. There's just a whole bunch of things that we're seeing right now in the news. Do you think it's coincidence? Yeah, we have technology that they didn't have years ago. We can see a lot of that stuff a lot easier, a lot quicker. But I came to the conclusion that I believe God's trying to tell us something. And maybe we need to listen. Maybe it's important for us to look into Scripture and let's see what he has to say. I'd like for you this morning to go to Luke 21. Now, we could have taken Matthew 24. There's actually a couple of different Scriptures that we could have used this morning. It's easy for us to get sidetracked. When I think about earthquakes and I think about all the different things that have been taking place, it's easy to head towards conspiracy theories. To get our minds on something that is totally not scriptural teaching. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to check into some of those things. Don't get me wrong there. But I believe Satan would like to get us sidetracked so we don't see what Scripture actually teaches about these things. So I believe it's pretty important that we go to the Word of God and let's see what he has to say about this. So I'd like to read this morning. Luke 21, I'm going to read all the way through verse 28. Some of this has to do with end time events. Some of this, I think, has to do with the fall of Jerusalem and the temple. We're going to read all the way through 28, so let's follow along if you have a Bible here. It doesn't matter what translation you have, but let's follow along as we read. Luke chapter 21 says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both of parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want to begin with a scripture out of Titus chapter 1. We have to see if we can get this guy to move for us. You might have to get it started back there. Titus 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So here we have a promise. God promised before the world began that there is a hope of eternal life. And I want us to catch the next phrase that I have in the middle of that verse there that says, which God that cannot lie. God is truth. He cannot lie. There is no way for him to come to that. So what he has to say in his word, I want us this morning to realize it is so. There is no other way. It is so. So that's what we're banking on this morning. So yes, we talked about earthquakes. And by the way, I did a little bit of research. Are we having more earthquakes than we used to have? What's your opinion? Are there more or less? I was a little surprised. I think technology just has it that we see more of it. But actually, according to what I read, I think there may be less. Now, I'm not going to stand on that one. It depends where you go to. But the intensity is changing. That I did come across. Remember he talks about as a woman in labor? And as we get closer to the end, the intensity is there. I believe that's what's happening. Now, I'm not here to try to scare you this morning. None of this is something that I want to do. Let's go back there to the first section, the verse 1 through 4. Here he was looking at this. Jesus was watching this widow. And he's talking about how she's giving everything she has. And I thought to myself, why did the disciples not pick up on that one? It seems like they missed it. But then it says in verse 5, this is what they were watching. They were watching the temple. They were looking at the temple, the beauty of the temple. They were a bit sidetracked on this, I believe. The temple, by the way, was an amazing feat that was built. And I don't want to spend much time on this, but there were places on the temple that were overlaid with gold. They said it was so shiny, if the sun hit it just right, you almost couldn't look at it. The rest of the temple was made out of white marble. From a distance, they said it looked like snow. Jesus said here that the temple is going to fall. Not one stone left upon another. And you'd think 60 feet, a stone that was 60 feet long, how is that going to fall? History tells us that there was a drunken soldier. I think this might come from Josephus, if I can say it right. He went in and lit a fire within the temple, and it burned. The gold, a lot of the gold melted and ran down. If there was a gap anywhere, it went into it. And the king came by and he said, I want that all taken apart to collect the gold. And they said it was so destroyed that they couldn't find where the temple actually used to be at that time. So I'm just reading here what history tells us. So here we have them watching the temple. I wonder what they thought about this when Jesus talked about the temple being thrown down. The temple was their central place of worship. It was a place that they went to that was considered very, very holy. So when Jesus made these comments about the temple coming apart, this pricked the disciples' thoughts. And they asked him in verse 7, when's this going to be? What sign are you going to show us when these things come to pass? And I want us to notice in verse 8 something that came out really quick here. Jesus began with, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because there's many that are going to come. He wanted them to stay true. If there's ever a day, I would say today is the day we can be deceived. We have so many that are out there that are sharing their opinions because they have a platform. And it is very easy to go the wrong direction. But there is one way for us to stay within where we need to be. That is getting back to the Word of God. Remember I said it's truth. What He said stands. We get back to the Word of God. Be not deceived. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. There is no other way. I want to make sure we get that this morning. We realize that. We're believers. But I believe it's good for us to be reminded over and over. He is the way. He's the only way. There is no other way. There's no roundabouts. There's only one way. I'd like for us to go down to verse 9. Here we have talking about wars, commotions. One of the other scriptures says rumors of wars. Things that terrify us. Let's be honest, it does. Our insurance paper that we just got, this is interesting. Just this week we got an insurance paper that stated that they're changing our policy. The policy says if there's a war, they're not going to cover our house. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe they're seeing something we aren't seeing. Or maybe we are. I'll leave that one. We're not going to get into politics this morning. But it says here in verse 9, there's a phrase there. He says, be not terrified. Be not terrified. Isaiah 41:10 has a promise for us. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's easy for us to get to a place where we fear. He's there with us. Are these things easy to face? No, I'm sure they're not. But He is there with us. Let's drop down to verse 13. Again, we have a phrase, a verse here. It says, and it shall turn unto you for a testimony. So He's talking here about coming before those that are going to persecute you. And He says in this verse here, not to fear. I believe it's in this verse. Verse 12. Coming before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. As I saw that, I thought, well, what are you really trying to tell us here? Jesus was telling the disciples, don't fear. I'm going to give you an opportunity to testify. Harold shared some things quite a few times here about Ananias' house and things that are happening there. And one of the things I believe Harold had shared at one time was that they are not looking at persecution as something that's really, really horrible, but they're seeing the fields that are white to harvest. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought, what am I thinking of? Should persecution come, what does Lynn think? I'll probably send out a hotline real quick to pray for me. That's very, very important. It's okay. But am I looking at persecution? We don't have that here right now. And I'm really not sure where we go with this. But I think if we don't think about this, that's kind of coming around circles there. If we don't think about what would happen when persecution comes, maybe we won't be prepared when that time shows up. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. I realize that. But what would my first step be? Defend myself? We have plenty of weapons. Probably more now than we ever have had. Is that where I would go? Or would I look at it as an opportunity to testify? That's a tough question. That's maybe a little bit out of our comfort zone from where we're at right now. But those that are being persecuted, that's where they are. Can they testify? We look back at history. I don't know how many of you have ever looked into the book Martyr's Mirror. There's so many that are listed in there that came to the stake and they went down singing, testifying. Is there something special we receive at that point? I believe so. I guess the important thing is for today, for us to walk faithfully. God will give us the courage, and I believe He will continue to lead us in that. Philippians 1, verse 12 through 14 says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me," this is Paul talking here, "has helped me to spread the good news. For everywhere here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ." Somebody was talking, weren't they? Somebody was showing who they were serving. "And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." I told the class this morning that somebody is always following us. Somebody's looking in. Maybe in their younger years, not so much, but as they grow older. Here we see that the other believers, they gain confidence because of Paul's actions here, because of who he was living for. Somebody was watching. Let's go to verse 19. Verse 19 says, "In your patience possess you your souls." And this is a bit interesting to me. I looked a little bit at this word patience. And he's talking here about being faithful in the midst of struggle, in the midst of hate, in the midst of persecution and death. "In your patience possess ye your souls." So the idea of possess here is to acquire, and you can see what I got written here, to get, as in to marry a wife. I thought that's an interesting way to look at this. So in your patience possess ye your souls. So we realize when we are dating somebody, we're pursuing them. And patiently we continue to pursue them until, for us guys, they are our wife. I believe he's telling them here, be patient. Endure is the right word for that. To endure, to remain steadfast. And we will receive the security of our souls. We can understand the marrying part. Can we understand the security of our souls as we remain steadfast, as we continue to follow Him? We endure. We're going to jump on over to verse 27. In verse 25, again, he talks more about the end times. He's talking here about things that are going to take place. And by the way, there is a blood moon. Does somebody know when that is? Is that tonight? I believe tonight there's a blood moon. And I don't know what all that signifies, but it's interesting to watch what takes place, what the scientists are actually saying is happening today. And I believe things are lining up with Scripture. Verse 27, he says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with glory." I wrote here in my text here, in my notes, three simple words. He is coming. He is coming. Friends, we're not going to bypass that one. We are doing things today with the idea that there really is not a God. I just listened to somebody again this week sharing some very far-fetched idea that we are going to be gods. He is not God, but we are going to be gods. Friends, it's not that way. We have a part in the kingdom, yes, and I'm not sure what all that's going to entail, but He's God, and I'm not. And I believe all of us need to realize that. What He has for us in the future is an interesting thing to study. We're not going to go into that. John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Do you ever think about the idea that when Jesus left to prepare a place, your name was included? And I had to think about this as I was pondering on this. He's preparing a place for each one of us. Is that place going to be vacant? Or is there somebody going to be in it? And when I thought about that, I thought, wow, that's some pretty serious thinking. He's preparing a place for me, for you, individually. And I don't know what that's going to be like. We were talking here not too long ago about will we know each other? I think so. I don't have proof of that. But then on the other hand, we see where there were different ones that came down with God on the mountain. They knew who they were. So we'll leave that one. But something to think about. As believers today, we feel His presence within us through the Holy Spirit. The longer we live for Him, the more we become involved. The relationship grows stronger. We realize that we love being in His presence. If I'm not sensing that today, I want to encourage you. Spend more time in His presence. It's easy for us in our busy lives. I'm going to check off this 10-minute devotional time, and I'm going to run. Can I encourage you this morning? Spend time with Him. Come into His presence. He loves to have us there. Again, as we read some of these verses, there is a sense of fear. And I don't want to come to you this morning trying to create something to where you go home and you have fear of the end times. But I'm hoping this builds a confidence. Maybe I'm fearing about what might have to be experienced in the future. Am I fearing whether I can remain faithful? What about the pain that I might have to endure? What about my family? The encouragement we need is today to be faithful where we're at right now. To walk with Him right here today. And we have His promise that He will not leave us. He's right here with us. I just love the idea. I've told our instruction class different times. When we give our hearts to Christ, we receive the Spirit within us. And I just love the idea of looking out across the crowd this morning and thinking about the fact that you have the Holy Spirit within you. If you're a believer here this morning, you have the Spirit within you. You don't have to go seek Him. You don't have to go try to find out where He's at. He's here. He's within you. And He wants communion. He wants fellowship with us. Mark 13:31. See if you can get me to that slide. I'm not sure what I did here. Okay. Mark 13:31 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." He was talking to the disciples here. But I also believe that's for us today. We don't know. There have been many, many people across time, throughout time, that have made predictions of when Christ is coming. And I just heard again the other day of another one that's making that prediction. We don't know when He's coming, but we know He is coming. That's the important part. Let's go to verse 28. Verse 28, he says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Look up, lift up your heads, he says. I think this is a spiritual attitude of anticipation. It's easy for me to become lethargic and forget about the soon return of Christ. I get so wrapped up in what I'm doing, and I forget that it's really happening. You know, my parents talked about it. Their parents talked about it. And I'm sure their parents talked about it. He is coming back. But the fact is, we're closer today than what we've ever been. I don't know when His return is. But looking at the signs, looking at what's happening around us, it has to be getting close. So we want to be prepared. We want to be ready. Time is getting closer. Here's some things that I have to think about. We have so many distractions today in life. Things that get our minds off of Christ. So what are some of the ways that will help us to be alert? I got a list here. You probably read them already. But be in the Word daily so you know truth. Don't be in the Word just for the idea of, I'm going to check it off. But to learn the truth. To know what He has to say to us. Fellowship with other believers. I think that's a very, very important part of us. Encouraging each other on. We need each other. Share His love with others. Pray for the lost. Or pray with the lost. When was the last time that you asked God to bring somebody into your life that you can share Jesus with? I'm going to lay that out as a challenge this week. Ask God to bring somebody into your life that you can mention Jesus to. See what happens. That's His desire, that we share His love with those around us. Fill your mind with good things, things of God. God gave each one of you a talent or talents. Use them to glorify Him. Some of those talents, as you use them, will help you to think on Him, and it'll help you stay alert. Worship, worship, worship. I can't say that enough. As His children, He deserves our worship. Yes, worship can happen when we spend our time with Him. Our prayer time, our reading the Bible, that can happen. But worship is actually a way of life. And sing. Some of you are probably thinking, no, you don't want to hear me sing. God wants to hear you sing. Stay focused on Him. Ephesians 1:13, we'll go to the last slide there. "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." I want us to catch that, because when we became believers, there was a seal placed on us. We have the Holy Spirit of promise within us, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So when we believed, we received the Holy Spirit, we were sealed. That's what He tells us here. We're kept secure. No one can take it from us. So if you look at the Bible times, a seal denoted both identification of ownership and protection provided by the owner. They understood this seal because they used seals like this a lot. Harold talked about our identity in Christ. We are secure, we are protected in Him. That's what this seal is. Now we come to verse 28. I just read it. I'm going to read it again. He talks here about us getting, receiving. I better go back and read that again before I say it wrong. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Let's go to verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yes, we are saved today. If you've given your heart to the Lord, you are saved. But when He returns, this earnest, the earnest of our inheritance will be complete. There's no more going to be a place where we have the opportunity to sin. It is complete. Romans 8, verse 23. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope. And listen to the last part here. He says, for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. What a day that will be. When we receive the final, complete redemption that He is offering for us. But it takes us trusting Him today to get to that. Ultimately, the message of hope in Luke 21:28 is a call to action for us as believers to remain anchored in our faith. By trusting in God's promise of redemption, we align our lives to follow Him with joy and expectation. Can I ask you this morning to be mindful of what we allow to fill our hearts and our minds? To be faithful in seeking His truth. And for each one of us to be vessels of hope to those that we meet from day to day. Know the things that are happening today in life don't have to be scary. They can be. And what I shared this morning doesn't mean that I think everything that's happening today in our day is what He's talking about, some of these areas, but I believe a lot of this ties in. But I believe it's very, very important that we do pay attention to what's happening around us. Because His return is sure. And because of His return, we have such an amazing hope. Thank you so much for listening this morning. If you would stand, please, we'll have a word of prayer. And after prayer, Ernie, I didn't say anything to you. I'm not even sure what number this is. But the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, if we could sing that song at the end here. Let's pray. God, we thank You this morning so much for the blessing we have of a sure hope. It's not an if hope, but it's a sure hope. We know, Lord, that You have given us Your Spirit within us. You've given us a strength, what we need for life here on this earth. We thank You so much for the promise that we have, that we will be with You throughout all of eternity. We know that You do not lie. So, Father, we believe that this morning. I ask for grace and strength for this week, for each one of us here. As we go through our walk this week, Lord, that we would be faithful, that we would take time to hear. Lord, that we could be a blessing to those around us and an honor to Your precious name. Would You dismiss us with Your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.